this week we read Parshas Parah, since it's the Shabbos before the Shabbos that we read Parshas Achodesh. So we read Parshas Parah, which talks about the Parah Aduma, because as we get closer to Pesach, in order for everyone to be able to bring to Korban Pesach, they have to be pure from any tumah, from any tumas meis, from any tumah impurity, defilement, from coming in contact with a dead body. So, as it came closer to Pesach, it was necessary for the people to purify themselves so that they should be fit to bring the Korban Pesach. So therefore, on this Shabbos, we read about the Parah Aduma, which is what was used to purify a person from tumas meis, the tumah that comes from coming in contact with a dead body. For the Haftorah, we read from Sefer Yechezkel, Perek Lamed Vav, starting from Pasuk Tes Zayin. And as we go through the Psukim, we'll see, first on a simpler level, the connection between Parshas Parah, the Parsha of the Parah Aduma, and the words of the Navi here, and perhaps as we get closer to the end, we'll see a connection on a deeper level. The Haftorah begins, Vayihi Devar Hashem Elai Lemar, and it was the word of Hashem to me saying, Ben Adam, son of man, as we've mentioned numerous times, that throughout Sefer Yechezkel, Yechezkel is referred to as Ben Adam, son of man, Beis Yisrael Yoishvim Alad Mosam, the house of Israel, the Jewish people, they were living on their land, Vayitame'u Oisa, and they defiled it, Bidarkom Uva'alud Oisam, with their ways and their actions, Kitumas Hanida, like the Tumah, the uncleanness, the impurity of the Nida, of a woman who's a Nida, Hoysa Darkam Lefonoi, that's what how their way was in front of me. The Navi says in the name of Hashem, that the Jewish people, while they were living on their land, they sinned, they defiled the land, through their Darkam, their ways, and their Aliloisam, their actions, and that defilement is compared to Tumas Hanida. It's the tumah of a woman who's a nida. So first of all, the Marikra explains, at the beginning of the Pasuk, the Navi said, goes back to the fact that Beis Yisrael, Yoishvim al Admosam ve'itamu oisa, that the Jewish people were dwelling on their land and they defiled it. He says this is actually addressing something that the Navi had said a couple of psukim earlier. A couple of psukim earlier, the Navi says that the non-Jews, the other nations, they look at Eretz Yisrael and they say, look at this land, this is a terrible land, it spits out all those who try to dwell upon it. First you had the Canaanim, you had the seven nations who were living in Eretz Yisrael before the Jewish people came along, and the land just spit them out. When the Jewish people came along, those people were chased out, they were thrown out very quickly out of Eretz Yisrael. And now the Jewish people settled there for a little while, and the next thing you know, they're sent out as well. You see that this land is a land that spits out its inhabitants. They can't stay there for an extended period of time. And the Navi here, in the name of Hashem, addresses that and says, no, what you see as a problem with the land, as something derogatory about the land, is actually a quality of the land. The quality of the land is that the land is so holy that it can't tolerate any impurity, any tumah within it. So when you have people living there and they sin, the land can't tolerate that, and therefore it spits them out, it sends them away, they get sent into exile. It says, Beis Yisrael, Yoshvim al Admosav, Vayitamu Oisa. The Jewish people, they were living in the land. Why were they sent out? Because Vayitamu Oisa, because they defiled the land. The land is so holy that it can't tolerate the sins of its inhabitants, and therefore when those who are living there sin, the land spits them out, and they get sent away out of the land. Now what's this comparison to Ketumas Hanida, like the Tumah of the Nida, of a woman who's a Nida? So the Mepharshim explain that because the Jewish people sinned in front of Hashem, Hashem had no choice but to distance them, as a husband has to distance himself from his wife at the time when she's a Nida. During that time, he has to distance her because of her Tumah. So too, Hashem had to distance the Jewish people who are compared to the wife of Hashem. The relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people is often referred to as compared to the relationship between a man and his wife. Hashem is forced to distance the people because of their tumah, because of the tumah, like similar to the tumah of the nido. This is not just in the sense of the physical distance that a husband and wife have to have at the time the woman's an Ida, we have to keep in mind that in the time when there was a Beis HaMikdash, when they were careful about Tumah V'Tahara, when people were had to keep track of when they were in a state of purity or impurity, was relevant to certainly to eating Truma if one was a Kayain, or eating Kodshim, eating from Karbanos. It was very important for a person to know if they're Tumah or Tahara, a person has to try to stay away from any form of Tumah. So, when it was a whole different situation when a woman became a Nida and she was Tameh, so the husband had to be very careful not to come in contact with anything she sat on or anything she came in contact with, because it was Tameh, and coming in contact with him might make him Tameh as well. So therefore, this relationship, this the husband-wife relationship, which is normally a close relationship at the time when the woman's a Nida, that the husband has to distance himself from his wife, even just for the sake of the Tumah V'Tahara, to remain tahar, so he can remain pure and not become impure. The Marikra takes it one step further, and he says that in addition to the basic analogy to the Tumah Sanida, to the distance that Hashem had to distance himself from the Jewish people, he says that we find in Sefer Yeshaya that the Avodah Zarah, idolatry, is actually compared to a Nida. The Pasuk says in Yeshaya Paraglamid, Pasuk Chof Beis, Tizreim Kumay Dova. The Navi prophesizes that in the times of Mashiach, then the Jewish people will throw away their Avodah Zarah. Tizreim, they will scatter them. Kumay Dova. Like a Dova, we find in the Torah the word Dova is used to refer to a woman who's a Nida. So they will throw out their idolatry, they'll throw out their idols, like one distances themselves from a woman who's a Nida. And then we actually learn from there that the same way that a Nida is metameh, makes a person, makes objects, and a person tameh, so too, Avodah Zarah, if a person comes in contact with Avodah Zarah, makes him tameh. Says the Marikra, that the specific reference over here, the specific sin that's being referred to here, is the sin of Avodah Zarah. That the Darkam that's referred to, they by Yitamu Oisa, they defiled the land, Bidarkam, with their ways. What's Bidarkam? That's referring to Avodah Zarah. Kutumas Hanido Oisa Darkam. What was the Darkam? What was their way? Their ways? What were their ways through which they defiled the land? The Navi explains, Kutumas Hanido Oisa Darkam. Like the impurity of Anido was their Darkam, that was their Derech, that they defiled the land. It's a reference to the Avodah Zarah. With that thing that is compared to the Tumah of Anida, which is Avodah Zarah, that was the Darkam, that was their way in which they defiled the land. Take a look in Source Beis, Rashi gives a kind of more of a positive spin. This comparison to the Nida, Ketumas HaNida, Hiso Darkam Lefonai, that their ways were like the impurity of Anida. So Rashi says, Ketumas HaNida Himshila HaKosov. The Torah compares it to the impurity of Anida. I'm sorry, Ketumas HaNida Himshila HaKosov Lenida. The Torah compares it to Anida, Shebalo Mitzape Mosai Titoher V'Toi Voshav Eleho. That the husband is waiting, anticipating, when will his wife become Tahor again, when will she become pure again, V'Toi Voshav Eleho, he desires to come back to her. It says over here also as well, the Navi is relating in the name of Hashem, that although Hashem was forced to distance the Jewish people from himself, but Hashem anticipates when he'll be able to come back, when he'll be able to come back together, the relationship with the Jewish people, when will they purify themselves, and they'll be able to come back together. So it's not per se an issue of the distance, it's not focusing on the distance, that Hashem has to distance himself from the Jewish people. Rather, the point according to Rashi is, Ketumas HaNida, the same way that when a woman's in Nidos, the husband has to distance himself from her, but he anticipates, he looks forward to when she'll become Tahar, and they can come back together, so too Hashem, despite the fact that he has to distance the Jewish people, but he's Mitzape, he looks forward, he anticipates for the time when the Jewish people will purify themselves through Tshuva, and they'll be able to come back together. The Navi continues, Pasuk Yud Ches, so as Gimel number 3, because they defiled themselves, because they defiled the land, so I poured forth my anger against them. Al hadom asher shofu al ha'aretz, for the blood that they spilled on the land, the innocent blood that they spilled, uvigululehem tim'uha. And they defiled it with, once again, with their idolatry. Va'ofitz oisom bagoyim, Hashem says, because of that, I spread them out amongst the nations. Va'yizoru ba'arotzois, they were scattered in the lands. The word va'yizoru, we have a melacha on Shabbos called zoyre, which is winnowing. Right, you throw up the grain in the air and the wind blows away, it scatters out the chaff, the lighter material, it scatters it out wherever the wind takes it. So va'yizoru ba'arotzois, they were scattered out in the different lands. Kidarkom v'cha'alilo yisom shifatim. Similar, based on their ways and their actions, that's how I judge them. Says Hashem, I judge the Jewish people based on what they had done. I was forced to exile them and spread them out amongst the nations in the different lands. Vayovoy el hagoyim asher bo'u sham. And the word vayovoy is actually in singular. Vayovoy, and he came, el hagoyim asher bo'u sham, to the nations that they came there. Vayichalu ashen kodji, and they desecrated my holy name. Be'emor lohem, how did the desecration of Hashem's name come about? Be'emor lohem, when the nation said to them, Am Hashem Eile, these are the people, this is the nation of Hashem, Umeyarzo Yotzou, and they went out from his land. Hashem tells the Jewish people through the Navi Yechezkel that I had no choice because the Jewish people sinned and they were defiling the land. I had no choice but to pour forth my anger against them, to exile them from the land, to spread them out amongst the different nations and the different lands. And Hashem adds that through exiling the Jewish people, through sending them out, that brought about Vayichalu Hashem Kodshi, a desecration of the name of Hashem. And what exactly is that desecration of the name of Hashem? When the nations say, Am Hashem Eila, this is the nation of Hashem, who may Arzo Yotzo, from his land they went out. Now we mentioned, as I was reading the Pasuk, that the first word in the Pasuk, Chaf Vayovoy, is singular. And he came, although in the English it says, and they came, but the word Vayovoy really means that when he came, it's singular. So why is it singular? It's referring to the Jewish people. The Pasuk actually continues, Asher Bo'u Sham, that they, plural, came there. So it's referring to the Jewish people. So Rashi, take a look on page 2, Source Dalid. So Rashi addresses this. So the simple explanation that Rashi says is, L'fisha Omar Beis Yisroel, B'Roish HaParsha, since the beginning of this prophecy of Yechezkel, it begins with Beis Yisroel, addressing the house of Israel, as the people as a nation, as one unit. So therefore, Korachol HaParsha B'Loshen Yochid. So therefore, it refers to them and continues to refer to them as one unit of the house of Israel, as one big group of people. And therefore it says, Vayovoy, and it came, meaning that whole nation, that one entity, that one unit of the Jewish people, it came to the nations where they came. That's the first, more straightforward explanation in Rashi. Then Rashi means the Medrash. Number two is the Medrash HaGadol. The Medrash tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Boi Moim Begoyla, that Hashem came with them into the Galus, into the exile. As we know, Chazal tell us, Hashem says, I'm with the Jewish people in their pain and suffering. That wherever the Jewish people were exiled to, the Shekhinah went into exile with them. So Hashem says, Vayovoy, and he came. Who's he? It's referring to Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bo Yimoyim Begoyla, Hashem came together with the Jewish people into exile. V'hita oizen mahoyu oimrim hashavoyin. And Hashem inclined his ear to hear what were the captors of the Jewish people saying. What were they saying? Hari Eilu Am Hashem. This is the nation of Hashem. You see, Hashem can't save them. He said, look at this. The great mighty Hashem, what's going on here? This is his nation, and we're able to capture them, we're able to take advantage of them, and Hashem can't do anything to save them. That's what Hashem heard them saying. And it continues, Vaychalu Hashem Kodshi. That's the pasuk continues, they desecrated my holy name, that the Jewish people, through sinning and forcing me to send them into exile, hishpilu es kvoidi, they lowered my honor, my glory. Umaru achilul, how so? What's the desecration of Hashem's name that took place from going into exile? Be'emoro yveyem aleyem. When the enemies say about them, Am Hashem Eile, these are the nation of Hashem, umay artso yotso. And they went out from his land. There was not the ability in his hand. Hashem did not have the ability to save his nation or his land. So Rashi seems to explain that the desecration of the name of Hashem over here is not a direct desecration of the name of Hashem and what the Jewish people did. Rather, through the Jewish people's sins, which forced Hashem to exile them, now when the Jewish people go into exile, what do the nations say about the Jewish people? What do they say about Hashem? They say, look, this is the nation of Hashem, and yet we were able to capture them, we're able to take them into captivity, we're able to bring them, exile them from their land, and Hashem can't stop us. So that, by being sent into exile, they bring about the desecration of the name of Hashem, by the fact that now the nations perceive this as a weakness of Hashem, that Hashem couldn't protect his people and couldn't protect his land from it being captured by the enemies. So according to Rashi's explanation, this seems from here that when the Jewish people are punished by Hashem, the other nations don't understand that it's a punishment for the Jewish people's sins. Rather, they see it as a weakness of Hashem, which brings about a desecration of the name of Hashem. And in Dubna Magid, it brings a question that there seems to be a direct contradiction to Psukim in the Torah. Barash Nitzavim, the Psukim talk about what happens if the Jewish people will sin, they'll stray from the ways of the Torah. And it says that Hashem will bring punishment on the Jewish people. And it says, the Omar HaDor HaAchron, this is source number 5, the later generation will say, B'neichem asher yakum me'achareichem, your children that will come after you, V'hanochri asher yovag me'eretz Chayka, and the non-Jew who will come from a distant land, V'ro'uis makos ha'oretz ahivis tachalueho, and they'll see all of the plagues and the sicknesses in the land, Ashechila Hashem Ba, that Hashem made them sick. And what are they going to say when they see this? When they observe the punishment, they observe the pain and suffering of the Jewish people, the pasuk later on says, V'amru, and they'll say, Al Asher Ozvu Es Biris Hashem Elikei Avisam. This is because they abandoned, they rejected the covenant of Hashem, the God of their forefathers, Asher Koras Imam Bahitziyoy Isam Meretz Mitzrayim, that Hashem made this covenant with them, and He took them out of Mitzrayim. Vayelchu vayavdu Elohim Acherim, they went, they served other gods. Vayishtachavu lohem, they bowed to them. Elohim Asher Lo Yidom Vlechovak lohem, these are gods that they had never known. Vlechovak lohem, Hashem they weren't given any powers. Vayicharaf Hashem Boretz Ahi, and Hashem got angry at that land. Havi Olehu Es Kol Hakelolo Hakesuva BaSefer Azeh, to bring upon it all the curses that are written in the Sefer. And the pasuk goes on that Hashem punished them because of that. And it says in Dubna Magid, these psukim in the Torah and Parashat Nitzavim seem to indicate that when the Jewish people are punished, then the nations realize that they attribute it to the fact that the Jewish people sinned and that Hashem is punishing them. Yet, over here in the psukim in Yechezkel, Rashi seems to explain that when the Jewish people are exiled, there's a great chilul Hashem, there's a great desecration of Hashem's name, because the nations don't realize that the Jewish people are being punished by Hashem, and rather they see it as a weakness of Hashem. So how could we reconcile these two ideas? So he quotes somebody, I don't remember his name right now, but the Dubna Magid quotes somebody. He suggests the following explanation. He says there are two kinds of aveiros that we find. He says a person can sin in private, a person can sin out in public, in full view of everyone. And each one, certainly every time anyone does an Aveira, it's bad, but each one has a reason why it's especially bad. If a person sins specifically in private, then that shows a lack of recognition, a lack of acknowledgement that Hashem knows what happens anywhere, even behind closed doors. If a person sins in private specifically, then he shows through that he's somewhat lacking in his belief that Hashem is aware of everything that goes on in the world. That's about sinning in private. If a person sins in public, so although there's no lack of belief in Hashem that's expressed through that, but there's a different problem. And the problem is that it brings about a chilul Hashem, brings about a desecration of the name of Hashem, because people see that a person disregards the will of Hashem and he goes without any embarrassment whatsoever and sins out in the open, he's not bothered by it at all. So that has this extra element of chilul Hashem, of desecration in the name of Hashem. But he says that's only at the stage of the action of doing the sin itself. But then what complicates matters is when Hashem brings about a punishment. When Hashem punishes a person for his sins, so then things change a little bit. Because at the time, for a person who sins in private, so when Hashem punishes him, then it's not clear to people, to the onlooker, why this person's being punished. No one ever saw him sin. He only sinned in private. No one knew about his sins. And all of a sudden he's being punished. Hashem brings pain and suffering on the person. Hashem punishes him. And no one could understand why this person's being punished. As far as they're concerned, this person is a very righteous person and he's always doing the right thing. No one ever sees him sin. However, if a person sins in public, then when Hashem punishes him, everyone sees very clearly and everyone understands very well why this person is being punished. Because everyone sees him sin, everyone's aware of the fact that he sinned, and people can connect the dots and see very clearly why this person's being punished. So although at the stage of the actual doing the sin itself, there seems to be a greater chilul Hashem, a greater desecration of the name of Hashem, when a person sins in public, when everyone sees him sinning and he's not fazed by that. However, when it comes to the punishment, when it comes to the point where Hashem punishes the person for his sins, then there's a chilul Hashem as well, perhaps even a greater chilul Hashem, when the person who sins in private is punished. Because no one can understand, they see it as being unfair and unjust that the person is punished because no one is aware of the fact that he sinned. So the Dumna Magid, quoting whoever he was quoting, he suggests that we find that we know that Hashem punishes Mida Keneged Mida. No, Hashem punishes with a punishment that matches up to the sin that was committed. It says we find in the Mishnah in Avos, Mishnah Avos says that Golus Baal Oibam, that exile comes to the world, Hashem exiles the Jewish people for what kinds of sins? Al Oivdei Avodah Zarah, Val Gilui Aroyos, Val Shfichos Damim. For idolatry, for adultery, and for murder, for those kinds of sins, Hashem brings exile upon the Jewish people. He says those kinds of sins are the sins that are often, perhaps more often than not, done in private. Avodah Zarah was a great sin. A person wouldn't necessarily go in public and do Avodah Zarah. Perhaps something that a person would be embarrassed about, and he'd do it only in private, Gilui Arayos. Also, something a person would do, adultery, something a person would do in private, and Shfichos Damim perhaps as well. A person doesn't want it to be known that he was the murderer. Those are things that a person would do in private. And therefore he says, when Hashem punishes the Jewish people, and Hashem punishes for these kinds of sins that are done in private, the punishment is through galus, through exile. The people are exiled to a place where no one's aware of their sins. A place where people, the same way their sins are sins that are done in private, so too their punishment is in a way where people aren't aware of their sins. You sinned in a way where people aren't aware of your sin, so the punishment will come about in a way that people won't be aware of your sins. You'll be exiled to a different land. People who are not familiar with you, people who don't know about your sins, your punishment will also come about in a way that people don't understand. They're not aware of your sins. Therefore, they don't know why you're being punished. However, when it comes to sins that are done not in private, sins that people will be aware of, there we have the Gemara in Shabbos. He quotes, the Gemara says, "Ba'avoyin shvuah shav," for the sin of taking an oath in vain, "shvuah shaker," a false oath, "b'chilul Hashem," and desecrating the name of Hashem, "b'chilul Shabbos," and desecrating the Shabbos. For those things, "chayura rabba," the wild animals are increase, "behema kala," the domesticated animals are killed, they die, "ubnei adam mismatin," and people are the amount of people starts to dwindle, diminish, and the roads become deserted. It says there the punishment when it comes to sins like taking false oaths, chil Hashem and chil Shabbos, those are sins that people do that other people are aware of. So the punishment for those sins takes place in a way that people are that takes place in the land itself. The punishment for those kinds of sins is carried out in the place where the people are themselves. They're not exiled from the land, on their homeland, where they reside, where they live, that's where they're punished for those sins, in a way that the people are aware, people who observe their punishment are aware of why they're being punished. They can see, they understand, they know these people, they know about their sins, they can understand and see why they're being punished. So he suggests, perhaps, Psukim in Parshas Tzavim, are talking about punishment for sins that are done in public. The sins that were done in public, sins that people were aware of, and therefore Hashem carries out the punishment. They'll come, the pasuk, as the pasuk says, the people come from other nations. They come, they see the suffering, the destruction that takes place in Eretz Yisrael itself. Here it's talking about the punishment of the Jewish people, and the Pesukim Parashat Yitzhakim is taking place in Eretz Yisrael itself, on their homeland. So there, people, that punishment is for sins that are done in public, sins that people are aware of, and therefore the punishment takes place in their land itself, not in exile, but in the land where they've always been, where their neighbors, where the people living around them are aware of their sins, and they understand, therefore, that's why there, they understand why they're being punished. The people there understand, they saw the people sinning, they're aware of the sins of the people, and therefore they understand why they're being punished. However, he says, suggests that perhaps here in Pesukim in Yechezkel, talking about averes that are done in private. It says, Ketumas hanidah harsadah harsadakum lefonoi. Like the tumah of a nidah, like we mentioned before, which is something that's private between a husband and wife. They know about her state of being tameh. That's how their sins were. Their sins were done in private. Says Hashem, since their sins were done in private, therefore their punishment will also take place in a way where the people who observe, who see their punishment, will not be aware of their sins. Therefore they'll be exiled to a land where people are not familiar with their ways, not familiar with what they do, and that's where they'll be punished. And since in that scenario, the people are unaware of the sins that they had done, the sins that Jewish people had done, that's why it'll create this Chilul Hashem, this great desecration of Hashem's day. Since the people who are observing, who see what's going on, are not aware of the sins, they only see them being punished. They didn't see previously the sins that they did, therefore it brings about this great Chilul Hashem, which they think, they don't see this as being a punishment for sins, rather they perceive it as a weakness of Hashem. Be that as it may, this explanation of Rashi seems to assume the Chilul Hashem of the Jewish people being exiled comes about because the nations around them, the nations who are observing their punishment, see it as a weakness of Hashem and are not aware that it's a punishment coming from Hashem. However, the Gemara in Maseches Yuma seems to have a bit of a different understanding. The Gemara in Yuma Daf Pevom Mer Aleph in Suras Ches discusses the idea of Chilul Hashem. The Gemara says, Hichi Dami Chilul Hashem. What exactly is this idea? We know there's something called a Chilul Hashem, desecration of the name of Hashem. So what would be a Chilul Hashem? What's an example? What does it mean, Chilul Hashem? So the Gemara goes through different things, different Amayroim, give different examples. But here the Gemara says, after it talks about, describes Kiddush Hashem, now it talks about a Chilul Hashem. Avol misha koyrei v'shoyne v'shamash tamidei chachamim, someone who learns Chumash, he learns Mishnayis, and he studies from his Rebbe, he learns from his Rebbe, despite that, he does business, he's not honest in business. He doesn't speak nicely to people. So what do people say about such a person? Woe to this person who he learned Torah. What did his Torah do for him? Woe is to his father who taught him Torah. Woe is to his teacher who taught him Torah. Ploini shalom ad Torah. This person, you see, he learned the Torah. Ru kamamikul kolin masav. See how terrible his ways are, how crooked they are. The kamamikul orin drachav, and how disgusting his ways are. The Chilul Hashem is where a person sees a person who studies Torah, who's involved in Torah, and despite that, the way he conducts himself is not proper. It's not a nice and a pleasant way. So people say, oh, you see what happens when you learn Torah? See this person who learns Torah, what happens to him, the way he acts? You see what Torah does to a person? You see that Torah doesn't teach a person, train a person, to conduct himself properly. And the Gemara says, what does it say about such a person? The Gemara quotes our pasuk, that the nations say about them, this is the nation of Hashem, me'artzo yotzo. And the explanation of the Gemara seems to be, I printed the Rashi here, but the Rashi is a bit difficult. But the Gemara explanation of the Gemara seems to be, the Rashash explains the Gemara like this, that the Gemara is saying that we see from our pasuk is that when people see the people of Hashem, the Am Hashem, the nation of Hashem, who learn the Torah of Hashem, who are supposed to go in the ways of Hashem, and they see that they sin, they see they don't conduct themselves properly, they don't know how to behave, they say, Am Hashem Eile, Mayarto Yotso, the nation of Hashem, this is what they're all about, this is what they do, and that's the ultimate Chil Hashem, that's the ultimate desecration of the name of Hashem. And the way the Gemara seems to understand, not like Rashi tells us over here in Yechezkel, the Gemara and Yuma seems to understand, it's not the point, the Chil Hashem doesn't come about because the nations think that Hashem doesn't have the power to save the people. The Chil Hashem comes about is because when people see, they do understand that the people sin. It's not because they don't realize that the Jewish people sin. They see, they understand that the people sin, and they say to themselves, Am Hashem Eile, the nation of Hashem, they can't behave themselves, they can't act properly, they can't do what they're supposed to do. The Chil Hashem comes about because of the expectations that the nations have for the Jewish people, and they see that the Jewish people don't fulfill those expectations, they don't live up to what they're supposed to do, and that's what brings about the Chil Hashem. When Hashem is forced to exile the Jewish people, and they go out amongst other nations, and the other nations say, oh, look at these people, the nation of Hashem, they have to be exiled, they have to be sent out of their land, because they can't follow the will of Hashem properly, that is what brings about the Chil Hashem, that's what brings about the desecration of the name of Hashem. So there seems to be two different ways to understand the Chil Hashem that takes place when the Jewish people are exiled. Rashi seems to understand that it has to do with the fact that the other nations, the non-Jews, they attribute the Jewish people's exile to a weakness of Hashem, chas v'sholem, that Hashem is unable to protect them, as Hashem is unable to care for them. And the Gemara in Yuma seems to understand that the Chil Hashem comes about when the other nations see that the Jewish people have to be sent into exile because they don't live their lives the way that they're supposed to. Either way, Rav Dessler writes that we see from here a tremendous thing. When the Jewish people sin, then Hashem makes this great sacrifice when He sends them into exile. When Hashem sends the Jewish people into exile, it's not only something that's detrimental and painful for the Jewish people, but it's a sacrifice that Hashem makes from Himself as well. For Hashem to send the Jewish people into exile, it brings about a Chil Shem Hashem. It brings it, so to speak, Hashem puts His name on the line when He sends the Jewish people into exile. Puts His reputation on the line when He sends the Jewish people into exile. The fact that the Golos, that the exile of the Jewish people, brings about a Chil Hashem, that shows us that Hashem, when He sends us into exile, when He sends us into Golos, is not only something that's difficult for us, but it's something that's detrimental, so to speak, for Hashem as well. It's a sacrifice that Hashem is making from His end as well. So why does Hashem do that? Why does Hashem do that? Hashem goes so far to even, so to speak, put His reputation on the line to do something that's going to bring about a Chil Hashem. And He says it's similar to what we find by a Kohen or a Nazir. A Kohen and a Nazir, both of them are not allowed to be metameh, they're not allowed to come in contact with the tumah, with a dead body. And yet, we know the halacha is that if a kohen or a nazir, even a kohen gadol, if they're walking down the road and they observe, they see that there's a dead body lying there with no one to take care of it, what we call a meis mitzvah, then they're obligated, despite their elevated status, despite the fact that in all other situations they're not allowed to become tameh, they're not allowed to be involved with a dead body. But here, this is an overriding concern. The necessity to take care of the dead body, the kovet ha-meis, the kovet ha-briyos, to take care of that dead body, which is not being taken care of, that is an overriding concern. And therefore, the kohen or the nazir is obligated, is required to go ahead and defile himself, to become tamei, to take care of the needs of that dead body, to bury it properly. He says, so too, when the Jewish people sin, Hashem says it's necessary for me to do whatever it takes to bring them to do tshuva. And Hashem says, certainly Hashem tries to send messages to the Nevi'im, Hashem tries to send more subtle messages, try to do things in a less painful way. But when it gets to the point that doesn't work, Hashem says, I have no choice. I have no choice but to, so to speak, defile myself. I have no choice but to send the Jewish people into exile, to send them a very strong message by sending them out into exile, by punishing them. Even though it's going to bring me down as well, so to speak, Hashem says, but it's worthwhile for me to do it, for me to mechalel shein kodshi, for me to desecrate my holy name, to put my reputation on the line, so to speak, in order to motivate, to inspire the Jewish people to improve their ways. Hashem says, if that's what it takes, sending the Jewish people into exile, says Hashem, that's what I have to do. Even though Golos brings about a chil shem shamayim, even though it's detrimental, so to speak, to Hashem, to Hashem's name, to Hashem's reputation, so to speak, still Hashem says, the overriding concern is that I should inspire the Jewish people to improve themselves and to do tshuva. So says Rav Dessler, that's a great kindness that Hashem does for us, as Hashem in His great kindness and His great mercy, that Hashem is willing to even make the sacrifice for Himself, for our sakes, so that we should be inspired and be moved to improve ourselves. He says, but along with that comes a great responsibility. Because if we don't take advantage of that opportunity that Hashem gives us, if we don't get that message that Hashem is trying to send to us, then Hashem's desecration, His chil shem shamayim, it's for naught. It's one thing if we get the message, we understand, we see Hashem sends us into exile, we get the message, we understand what Hashem's trying to tell us, and because of that, we do tshuva, we improve ourselves, we become better, so then it's worth it. Hashem says it's worth it. I accomplished what I was trying to accomplish, even though it took going to great measures to bring about a chil shem shamayim, but it's worth it if it brings the Jewish people to improve, to do tshuva. Hashem says that the sacrifice, it was a good investment. It's worth it. But if chas v'shalom, we don't improve ourselves, so then the whole chil shem shamayim, what Hashem put on the line, what Hashem was sacrificing for us, it was for naught. It didn't work out. It didn't accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish. And therefore, it's our responsibility to make sure that that sacrifice that Hashem makes for us, that kindness that Hashem does for us, that by putting Himself on the line, by Michal His Shem Kodjai, for our sake, it's our job to make sure that we fulfill Hashem's will, Hashem's intention, what He's trying to accomplish through that, by improving ourselves and doing tshuva, by getting the message. There's no doubt in my mind that the words of the Navi, which speak specifically about exile, speak about sending the Jewish people out of their land, they apply to us just as well. It's no less relevant today than it was when the Navi said it, when Navi Yechezkel said it to the Jewish people then. Although, we've been exiled already, we're out of Eretz Yisrael, we're not being exiled right now. But I think, perhaps, if you take a look back on page 1, in Pasuk Yud Tes, Hashem says, what happens because the Jewish people were mitamei admosam, they defiled the land because they sinned. Al-dom asher shofchu al ha'aretz, because they spilled blood on the land. U'v'gilulehem tibuha, they defiled it with their idolatry. Hashem says there's two things. Va'ofitz oisom bagoyim, I'll spread them out amongst the nations. Va'yizoru ba'arotzois. And before we explained the word va'yizoru ba'arotzois means Hashem says I'm going to spread them out, scatter them among the different lands. But perhaps the word va'yizoru could be understood in a different way as well. We said before that the word Vayizaru comes from Zoyre, to winnow. But perhaps the word Vayizaru could also come from the word Zor. Zor means a stranger. Vayizaru Ba'arotz, it says Hashem, there's two ways of exiling the Jewish people. One way, when they're living in Eretz Yisrael, I could exile them by sending them out of Eretz Yisrael. Va'ovitzoy some bagoyim, spread them out amongst the other nations. But Hashem says, even if the Jewish people are already in exile, there's still another level, there's another way of exiling them. How is that? Vayizaru Ba'arotzois. That they could be strangers in their own land. The Jewish people could be living in a different land. But how is Hashem going to exile them? Where is He going to send them to? We're not in Eretz Yisrael. Vayizoru ba'arotzos. Hashem says, I can make them feel like strangers in their own land. That's another level of Golos, another level of exile in the Jewish people. It might not be taking them out of their land, but even within their own lands, vayizoru ba'arotzos, perhaps we could explain the word vayizoru as being a stranger in their own land. When the Jewish people are living in the land, and they're made to feel like strangers, their ideals and their morals are now recognized by the country where they live in, by the places where they live. When they feel like strangers in the land that they don't feel comfortable there, because they can't keep the Torah properly, because they can't keep the mitzvahs properly, that's another level of galus. That's another level of exile, and that comes together with all of the whole same package of the regular exile being sent out of Eretz Yisrael to the other lands. It comes together with the same chil shem shamayim. It comes together with the same desecration of the name of Hashem. When the Jewish people, when we live in a land and we feel strangers, when the government of the land that we live in passes laws which are strongly contrary to our beliefs, to our morals, to our ideals, when they allow things which the Torah considers to be abominable, that's Vayizoru Ba'arotzois. That's the fulfillment of what Hashem says. Hashem says this Gog was sending them out of the land, and this Vayizoru Ba'arotzois, feeling strangers in their own land. Not only in the ideological sense of the fact that we feel strangers because the ideals, the laws of the country are against our ideals, but even in a practical sense. We live in a situation where the laws that the country is willing to adopt, not only are they against our ideology, but in a practical sense as well, they make it very difficult for us to live in the land, which is something that was spoken about at the time when these laws were passed, that if the country accepts things that we consider to be immoral and that we're not willing to accept, so the a lot of the support that we rely on from our very kind government, who's willing to support our institutions, but if we don't accept the ideals that they want us to accept, if we don't accept the laws that they want us to accept, then they can, even in a practical sense, they can make us feel like strangers by not giving us the support, not giving us the help that we need from them to maintain our institutions. And even in the very direct sense, when the various governments attempt to prevent us from fulfilling certain aspects of certain mitzvahs properly, bris milah, they try to prevent us from fulfilling the mitzitza bepeh, fulfilling the mitzvah in the most ideal form as we want to, perhaps it seems to me that this is a fulfillment of the word of Vayizoru Ba'arotzois. Hashem says it's another level of galus, another level of exile, where even in the land that you're living in, Vayizoru Ba'arotzois, we feel like a stranger in that land because the land, the country, the government accepts certain ideas and laws that make you feel like a stranger, make you feel like I can't live in this land, I can't fulfill my duties as a Jew properly in this land, I can't live with the proper morals that I want to live with in this land. That's perhaps a fulfillment of Vayizoru Ba'arotzois, which comes with the Chil Hashem. It's a great Chil Hashem Shemayim when such things happen. The fact that such laws that are contrary to the Torah are accepted and upheld, and even more than that, when our misguided liberal brethren who support these ideas that are against the Torah, it's even greater Chil Hashem Shemayim. When you have groups who claim to be Jewish and claim to follow the Torah, and they support these ideals which are we know are contrary to the Torah, that's a great Chil Hashem Shemayim. It's a great desecration of the name of Hashem. This is not something that was only limited to the time of the Navi, something that's limited to the Jewish people actually leaving the land of Eretz Yisrael and going out amongst the other nations. But in today's day and age, in America in 2016, this is something that we live with as well, and something that we have to take the message from Rav Dessler, which Rav Dessler's message is that if we don't get the message, if we don't do what we're supposed to do, what Hashem intends for us to do, based on this on the galus, Hashem, the improvements that Hashem expects us to make, then the Chil Hashem Shamayim that's involved is all for naught. Then it's not worthwhile. It doesn't accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish, and that Chil Hashem Shemayim, which Hashem goes to great lengths to allow His name to be mechulal, allows it to be desecrated, it doesn't accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish, and it doesn't have the desired effect which Hashem wants it to have. And therefore, it's our obligation to see, to recognize the Chil Hashem Shemayim that comes about because of our galus, yes, our personal galus. Although we're not being sent out of Eretz Yisrael in shackles, Baruch Hashem we're not, but even in our life that we live, to see how there's the Vayizoru Ba'arotzois, at least there's the element of galus, where to some extent we feel like strangers in our own land, and to see the great Chil Shemayim that comes out of that, and to recognize it's the kindness of Hashem, that Hashem is trying to send us a message, trying to influence us to do tshuva, to come back to Him. We have to recognize that and do our best to try to make sure that Hashem's desire is fulfilled, that we actually do tshuva and come back to Hashem, so the Chil Hashem Shemayim shouldn't go to waste. If that's the point out, he says, This, based on these ideas, we can explain what seems to be a very cryptic Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin. There's many different Gemaras at the end of Maseches Sanhedrin which talk about the coming of Mashiach. There's one which is especially puzzling. The Gemara says in the source Yod, Vam Rabbi Yochanan says, Ein ben David ba. Mashiach, who is Mashiach ben David, the son of David, comes from David, he's not going to come, Ela b'dor shekula echizakai, either in a generation that's completely innocent, completely righteous, or a generation that's completely chayev, that they're completely kuloi, all of it. They're all chayev, they're all sinners. So what does that mean? I understand. It's kuloi zakai, so that we have great merits, and then Hashem will bring Mashiach. But why only in a generation that's completely kuloi chayev, that they're all sinners, that they're all not righteous? Why should that be the situation in which Mashiach comes? So if Dessa says that the only reason why we're in exile is that the fact that we're in exile, the fact that we're in Galus, should send us a message to improve ourselves. So if this is Darsh Kulei Zakai, if we all improve ourselves, if we all do tshuva, we come back to Hashem, so that's one reason for Hashem to end the Galus, to send Mashiach and bring us out of the Galus, because there's no point in the Galus anymore if we're Kulei Zakai, if we got the message and we improved ourselves, we do tshuva, there's no reason to be in Galus anymore. Hashem can send Mashiach to bring us out of Galus. But the other extreme as well, if Hashem sees that the message of the Galus is not getting anywhere, it's a Darsh Kulei Chayev. If no one's getting the point, no one's getting the message, Hashem says, what do I need this for? What do I need to continue to mechalo shani bein agoyim, to desecrate my name amongst the nations? What do I need it for? If no one's getting the message anyway, it's a Darsh Kulei Chayev. No one gets it. So then Hashem says, okay, so I'll end the galus. There's no point in having a galus if no one's getting the message, no one's understanding, no one's doing tshuva, it's a Darsh Kulei Chayev. Then Hashem says, what's the point? There's no point in keeping this going. Hashem will send Mashiach and end the galus. And that's to make sure to point out, and we shouldn't be foolish enough to say, well, then I'm going to stop keeping mitzvahs, so we'll make a situation of Darsh Kulei Chayev that, for obvious reasons, is not correct. Let's continue. Hashem says, my name is being desecrated amongst the nations in the exile. So Hashem says, it'll come the time that I'll have pity. Hashem kodshi on my holy name, asher chiluluhu beis Yisrael bagoyim, that the Jewish people have desecrated it, defiled it amongst the nations, asher bo shama, that they came there. As we explained before, what the chilul shem shemayim is. Lochein, therefore, emor leveis Yisrael. Hashem tells the Novi Yechezkel, tell the Jewish people, koyaman Hashem alikim. So says Hashem, Lo yilimanchem ani oisa beis Yisrael. You should know, I'm going to bring you out of the Golos, says the Gnobi will continue to say, but I'm not doing it because of you. I'm not doing it for your sake. Kiyim l'shem kodshi. Hashem says, only for the sake of my holy name, asher chilaltem bagoyim asher bosem shom, that you have desecrated amongst the nations that you have come there. And therefore, v'chidashti es shmi agodoyl hamchul bagoyim. I will sanctify my great name that has become desecrated amongst the nations, asher chilaltem b'soicham, that you have desecrated it amongst them, v'yodu agoyim ki ani Hashem, and the nations will know that I am Hashem, n'om Hashem elokim. So says Hashem, v'hikodshi vochem le'inechem, when I sanctify myself through you in front of their eyes. Mefarshim explained that Hashem says that when the time comes, I feel that the time has come for me to no longer allow my name to be desecrated, Hashem says, then I will bring you out of the galus, not because of you, necessarily, but for my sake. But through that, I will sanctify my name amongst the nations. They'll see that the entire time, it wasn't the reason why you remained in galus, wasn't because I couldn't get you out, it was because I hadn't decided to take you out yet. When they see that against their will, whether they like it or not, the time will come when I will redeem the Jewish people, take them out from under the other nations, then they'll see clearly the whole time, at least part of the Chil Shem Shamayim, part of the desecration of Hashem's name that had taken place throughout the Galus previously in all those years, they'll then see it'll be reversed. Because then they'll then see that it wasn't because Hashem didn't have the power to redeem the Jewish people, it was because he hadn't decided yet that it was the time to redeem them. So I'll sanctify my name in the eyes of the nations, they'll see clearly that is I, Hashem, who really is in charge, I have the power to do as I will, and the reason why I hadn't redeemed the Jewish people previously is because I had not decided yet to redeem them. Continues Hashem says, Lo kachti eschem min hagoyim, and I will take you out from amongst the nations, v'kibatzti eschem mikol ha'arotzois, I will gather you from all the lands, v'hevisi eschem al admaschem, and I will bring you to your land. This is what Hashem says. But Hashem says that I'm going to have pity on my holy name, and I'm going to bring about a kiddushim shemayim. I'm going to sanctify my name. This is the beginning of that process. Hashem says, "I will gather you. I'll take you in from amongst the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you back to Eretz Yisrael." There's a bit of a seeming repetition over here. It says, "I will take you from the nations, and I will gather you from the lands." So, what are those two things? It's interesting that. It happens to be that in the davening, we say this as well. On Yom Tovim, in the Musaf, we say, "The Korev Pizureinu Mibein Hagoyim, Unfutzeisenu Kaneis Miyakisei Oretz." But we also ask Hashem, "The Korev Pizureinu, gather those of us who are spread out Mibein Hagoyim, from amongst the nations, Unfutzeisenu Kaneis Miyakisei Oretz," those who are Nofutz, those who are spread out, Hashem should gather together Miyakisei Oretz, from the edges of the land. So there are those who explain that it's referring to different groups of Klal Yisrael. There's some who are closer to Eretz Yisrael. So that's Korif Pizureinu Mibein Hagoyim. Those who are scattered amongst the nations, Hashem should gather them back to Eretz Yisrael. Unufutzeisenu, those who are spread far out, Biyakasei Oretz, on the edges of the land, Hashem should also gather them in. Kaneis, Hashem should gather them together to Eretz Yisrael. So perhaps there's a similar idea in this pasuk as well. Rabbi Yitzchok Sirotzkin writes, he says that perhaps we know in Mitzrayim that before the Jewish people were redeemed from Mitzrayim, they were taken out of Mitzrayim, so a number of months before that, the Shibud, the servitude, that they were enslaved by the Egyptians, that stopped. Chazal tell us 6 months earlier, the Shibud, the servitude ended, and 6 months later, they actually left Mitzrayim, they were completely redeemed from Mitzrayim. So it says, perhaps as well, at the time of the Geula HaAsida, the coming Geula, the coming redemption, also will be in two stages. Lokachti eschem in Agoyim, take you after the Shibud Malchios, from being enslaved, from being under the control of the other nations. First, Hashem will redeem us from that. Hashem will take us out from amongst the control of the other nations. V'kibasti eschem kol ha'arotzos, and then, a while later, 6 months later, or however much later it'll be, he wants to suggest that 6 months later, which has to do with sometimes he wants to say and explain something in the Haggadah, but maybe we'll leave Haggadah things for a little closer to Pesach. But sometime later, 6 months later perhaps, then there will be the Kibatzi Eschemi Kol Ha'arotzais, the second stage in which Hashem will gather us all together. That'll be the full redemption. He says perhaps these two things referring to the two stages. First will come the first step of the redemption of coming out from being enslaved, from being controlled by the other nations. And the second stage will come later on of the full redemption of bringing us back to Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk Chavhei says, "Zorakti alichem mayim tahirim utahartem." Hashem says that I will sprinkle upon you holy waters, and you will be purified. Mikol tumoseichem, from all of your defilements, and mikol gululeichem, and from all of your abominations, atar eschem, I will purify you. So Hashem says that not only will I bring you back physically to Eretz Yisrael, but also I will purify you, I will cleanse you, I'll give you a ruach, a spirit of kedusha, of holiness, of Torah. Hashem says I'll inspire you with Torah and kedusha and holiness to bring you back with tshuva, even if you yourselves cannot bring yourselves back with tshuva. Hashem says, but I will purify you, I will sanctify you, I will imbue you with holiness and with Torah, to bring you back to a proper avodas Hashem, serving Hashem properly. On the simple level, this pasuk is the connection between Parshas Parah and this Haftarah. Parshas Parah discusses those mayim tahirim. What's the reference? Hashem says he's going to sprinkle holy waters and purify you. What does that mean? And it's a reference to the waters of the Parah Aduma. So the waters that with the ashes of the Parah Aduma, that mixed with the ashes of the Parah Aduma, that are sprinkled on a person who's Tameh Meis, who has become Tameh from a dead body, to purify him. So in a similar vein, Hashem says, just as the Parah Aduma waters are sprinkled on a person to purify him, to take him out of the Tumah, to remove his Tumah he has from coming in contact with the dead body, so too, I will cleanse you, I will purify you in a similar way as those waters purify the person. That's because is actually a reference to the Parah Aduma waters. Now it seems to be the most obvious, most simple connection between the Parah Aduma and this section of the Navi, which talks about, Hashem says, makes reference to purifying the Jewish people in a similar way that the waters of the Parah Aduma purify a person who's Tamei Meis. Hashem goes on to say about the spiritual redemption, V'rasati lochem leiv chadash, and I will give you a new heart. What does it mean, a new heart? It means a heart that's just, that's yashar, it's just, it's muchna, it's a humble heart, or a heart that's willing to listen and accept the word of Hashem. V'ruach chadash, on a new spirit, perhaps a better, more elevated spirit, one that's willing to accept the word of Hashem. I will place within you a new spirit. I will remove the stubborn heart from your flesh. I'll give you a heart of flesh, a more flexible, willing, and accepting heart to do the will of Hashem properly. So Hashem says, not only will I do you the favor of taking you out of the galus, taking you out of the exile, but also Hashem says, I will inspire you. I will give you the ability to come back to me, and to be able to come back to serving Hashem properly, to stay away from sinning, and to do the mitzvahs and obey Hashem properly. I will put my spirit within you. The Mefarshim says, referring to the fact that Hashem will bring back Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah, prophecy, which are missing in the Galus. And I will do Eis Asher B'chukai Teileichu U'mushpatai Tishmiru V'asizem. And I will do what's necessary to make it that Asher B'chukai Teileichu, that you'll go in my ways, and that you'll guard, you'll keep my statutes, and you will do them. Hashem says that I will give you the inspiration. If you can't bring yourself back to full tshuva, Hashem says, I, as part of this process, which will come about because of the desecration of the name of Hashem, but I'm going to go full force, says Hashem. I'll purify you. It'll all come from my end. I'll give you the inspiration. I'll give you the Leiv Chadosh, the Ruach Chadosh. I'll give you all the components necessary to be a good Oyvid Hashem, to serve Hashem properly. I will ensure that you go in my ways. Hashem goes on to say, "Vishavtem ba'aretz, you will dwell in the land asher nasati la'avoseichem, that I gave to your forefathers. V'hisem li la'am, you will be for me a nation." The Mitzulis explains, it means you'll believe in me, you'll keep my mitzvahs properly. V'anoichi yehi elochem le'elokim, and I will be for you a God. I will take care of you. I'll help you. I'll protect you. And I will save you from all of your defilements. I'll protect you, I'll help you to refrain, to resist the temptations, that you shouldn't get into the habit of doing averus once again. The karosia hadogon v'herbesio yisai, I will, so to speak, I'll call out to the grain, then I will increase it. And I will not make famine come upon you. Hashem says, besides for the spiritual resurgence, but Hashem says, I'll improve the gashmius as well. And perhaps the idea is that we know when the Jewish people are doing the will of Hashem, so then Hashem says, I'll facilitate it. I'll give you all the material things that are necessary, all the food and whatever you need in order to continue to serve me properly. So once Hashem says, once I remove all of the defilements, I remove all the impediments for you serving Hashem properly, then once you're on the right track of serving me properly, Hashem says, then in return, I'll increase the grain, there will be no famine. Although Hashem is not actually going to cult the grain necessarily, but Hashem says, I'll make it as if I told the grain to increase itself. There'll be an increased amount of food to eat, and I will increase the fruits of the tree and the field, the produce of the field. So you should no longer have the disgrace of a famine amongst the nations. And the Mefarshim has various different explanations. What exactly is the disgrace of the famine? Either the fact that if you have to leave your land because of the famine, that itself is degrading, that you have to leave your homeland, or just the fact itself that they have a nation who can't sustain itself, doesn't have the food necessarily to sustain itself, that's also could be a cherpa, a disgrace. There's various explanations, the mefarshim, what exactly is the disgrace of the famine. But Hashem says there'll be no famine, there'll be plenty of food. At that point, you will remember your bad ways, and your actions that were not good, Hashem says, it's an interesting word, which according to the Tzudais in the Radak, means that you'll be cut off, you'll be cut off in your faces, which means that you will come to a recognition that you will, so to speak, the Radak says it, you will decree upon yourself to be cut off. You'll understand then, it'll become clear to you why Hashem had punished you in the first place. You'll come to that full realization and recognition of what went wrong originally, and you'll acknowledge yourselves that indeed it was necessary for Hashem to send you into Golus, for your sins, and for your abominations. The Ma'ariv Kol says a similar thing. Rashi understands the word nekoitaisem to mean disgusted. You'll be disgusted with yourselves for your sins and for your abominations. It's all the same idea. The point is, at that point, you'll come to recognition, the appreciation for what happened over here, to realize that you had sinned against Hashem, that Hashem was justified in punishing you, and that now that you're back on the right track, now Hashem is sharing you with good. Hashem repeats once again, not for your sake, says Hashem. You should know, I'm not doing this for your sake. You should be embarrassed and ashamed from your ways, the house of Israel. You should be embarrassed and ashamed from your sins. So basically what happened over here was, more or less, over these psukim, last 11, 12 psukim, that Hashem says, after you're in the Golos, the exile for a while, Hashem says, the point of time will come, where I say, out of pity, there's so much chilul shem shamayim, so much desecration of my name, Hashem says, I'll take pity, and therefore I will start to get the ball rolling on this redemption, on redeeming you, getting you out of the exile in order to sanctify my name. And earlier, Hashem says specifically that I'm going to sanctify my name, V'yodu ha-goyim ki ani Hashem. The nations will know that I am Hashem, Om Hashem Alekim, so says Hashem. Bikotchi bochem le'inehem, when I sanctify myself through you in front of their eyes, and that's going to come about through these various different aspects of the redemption, Hashem will purify the people, and Hashem will give an abundance of produce from the land. These are all parts of the redemption. But if that's in a different place, he observes that Hashem makes very clear that he's not doing this for the sake of the Jewish people. And Hashem also points out that Yodu Agoyim Ki Ani Hashem, that the nations, they will see, they will recognize from this that I am Hashem. And Rav Dessler explains that the purpose over here, what Hashem is accomplishing through this, is that for the Jewish people themselves, they may not get the message right away on their own. Even after Hashem sends them into Golos, Hashem takes them out of the Golos, Hashem gives them an abundance of good, they still might not get the message. Who will get the message? Says Hashem, V'yodu Agoyim Ki Ani Hashem. The other nations, they'll be the ones first to get the message, to realize what's going on here. From their outsider's perspective, observing what's happening with the Jewish people, to be sent into exile, to be taken out of exile, and Hashem gives them an abundance of good, that will make it clear to the other nations. They'll say clearly that Hashem is behind this all, that Hashem is the one pulling the strings and controlling what's happening here to the Jewish people. But the Jewish people themselves might not realize it right away. And for that, Hashem says, then it'll come to the point where you'll finally come when you see, you'll be influenced by the other nations. You'll be influenced by the other nations when you see them being inspired, being moved by what they observe happening to you, then that's when it'll finally sink in. That's when you'll get the message of Pasuk Lamed Aleph, "V'zechartem es darcheichem oro," and you'll say, "Oh, now I see. Now I realize what's going on over here." From seeing the other nations, from there, from the change that they'll make in their lives based on their recognition, they'll force you to be embarrassed. You'll be embarrassed by yourself that you didn't get the message, that you didn't realize what was happening here. You'll be embarrassed from that. You'll decree upon yourselves to be cut off. You'll realize, finally, from seeing the other nations be inspired from Hashem's ways, then you yourself will come to the realization at that point, and you'll be embarrassed. Be embarrassed of your ways, and you'll be embarrassed of the fact that you yourself did not realize in the first place what was going on. And I believe that there's an important message over here, which is that often it's a lot easier for a person to be able to see the flaws and even to see the good that other people have in their lives. A person sees from the outsider's perspective, and a person sees the good that his friends have, and a person sees what happens to his friends, to his neighbors, to other people, it's easier for a person from that perspective to realize, to understand what's going on. A person doesn't take another person's good for granted. A person only takes his own good for granted. And therefore, it's a person often doesn't recognize the good that Hashem does for him. And sometimes it takes a little bit of an extra push, a little bit of a stronger message for a person to get the message about himself. For the other nations, they'll see more clearly right away. They'll see what's going on. They'll see what Hashem is doing for the Jewish people. They'll see the cause and effect. They'll see the way, based on what the events that transpire, they'll see the whole picture of how the Jewish people sinned, that Hashem had to exile them, and now Hashem is bringing them back with His great kindness and mercy. But for the Jewish people, it's going to take a little bit of an extra push to see the other nations recognizing it first. Only then will they recognize it themselves. A person has a negius. A person, when it comes to himself, a person, it's harder for him to see what's going on. A person has a certain prejudice regarding himself, and he doesn't see necessarily the messages from Hashem. When Hashem is trying to send the messages, he doesn't necessarily see the good that Hashem is giving him. He can easily take it for granted. And if it comes to that, then Hashem has no choice but to send the message through an indirect way, through the other nations. But ideally, a person has to strive to see on his own the messages that Hashem is sending him, and to acknowledge all the good that Hashem bestows upon him. Once again, if anyone needs to leave, or wants to leave, or whatever, feel free. We'll just go a little bit farther. See if we can finish this up. On page 6, source 13, Yod Gimel, the Novi continues, Koyamar Hashem Eloikim. So says Hashem, B'yoyim tahari eschem mikhoi lavon yiseichem, on the day that I will purify you from all of your sins, V'yishavti eseorim v'nivnu echor avoyis. What will happen then? I will settle the cities, and I will build up the destroyed cities. The ho'oretz ha'nishamo, and the desolate land which lay fallow for so long, te'oved, it'll finally be worked, it'll be planted, it'll be plowed and planted and harvested. Tachas esher hoiso shemama, replacing, instead of that state of desolation that had been in Leini kol oiver, which was recognized and observed by anyone who passed through, they saw the desolation of the land. Now that land will be planted, it'll be used, there'll be produce growing from it. The Amru, and those who pass by, and those who observe it, the Amru, Ha'oretz Ha'lezu, Hanishama, Hoysak Yan Eden, this land which lay fallow, which was desolate for so long, Hoysak Yan Eden, now it's so nice, it's so productive, like a field in Eden, like a Gan Eden. The Ha'orem Mechorevois, Vanishamois, Vaneherosois, and those cities which were destroyed, which were desolate, which they were crumbling, B'tzurois Yoshavuim, they'll see that now they're all built up. There's houses, there's buildings, there's the infrastructure. Yoshavu, they're B'tzurois Yoshavu, they're settled as fortified cities, they're big, strong cities. Those cities which had previously been destroyed, they'll see a very quick transformation, and it'll startle them. They'll observe this great transformation which is taking place. And those nations that will remain around you, they'll know, Ki ani Hashem, they'll realize that it comes from me, Hashem. There will be no other way for such a quick, sudden transformation to take place. It's only through me, Hashem. I built up the broken, crumbling cities. Notati haneshama, I planted the desolate fields. Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Dibarti, I spoke. Ve'osisin, I have done. They realize, oh, the word of Hashem from the Navi. Yes, it was the word of Hashem, and indeed, it has been fulfilled. It'll come true. It'll come true. Ve'osisi Hashem, that Hashem does it as well. They'll recognize that the word of Hashem through the Navi was true, and they'll see that the actions of Hashem, that Hashem actually fulfills His word, and that He rebuilt and He rejuvenated the land and the cities of Eretz Yisrael. Now, after Torah ends off, the Sfaradim actually stop here, but the Ashkenazim continue two more psukim. Koyamar Hashem Eloikim, so says Hashem, Oid zois idoresh leveis Yisrael la'aseis lohem. This as well, idoresh, means I will be sought out. In other words, I will allow myself to be sought out, and I will fulfill leveis Yisrael to the Jewish people, la'aseis lohem, to do for them. In other words, I will be sought out. In other words, I will grant this wish of the Jewish people as well. What is that? Arbe oisom, I will increase them, katsoin odom, like sheep man. Let's just finish off for a second, we'll come back to that. Kitsoin kodoshim, like the holy sheep. Which holy sheep? Kitsoin Yerushalayim, like the sheep of Yerushalayim, b'moyadeho. On the holidays, or perhaps according to some of the Farshim, referring specifically to Pesach, when everyone comes with their sheep to bring for Karban Pesach, and there's other karbanos also brought then. So like the abundance of sheep, the abundance of holy sheep in Yerushalayim at the time of the Yom Tov, at the time of the bringing of the Karban Pesach, so too, those destroyed cities, they'll be filled with sheep people. The Odu ki ani Hashem, they will know that I am Hashem. So Hashem says the Jewish people, they desire to have katzoin odom, to be like sheep people. And Hashem says, I will grant them that wish. And the simple level, the Mefarshim explain, what that means is that Hashem will make the people abundant like sheep. Sheep are abundant, especially, it's especially noticeable in Yerushalayim at the time of the Yom Tov, at the time of the Karban Pesach, when there's just more and more and more sheep wherever you look. There's sheep all over the place. And Hashem says, I will increase the Jewish people, I will make them abundant like sheep, that there'll be plenty of them. Rabbi Isaac Sher says that perhaps there's a deeper level over here, there's a deeper message over here, which is perhaps on a deeper level, actually, the connection between Pashas Poro and this Haftarah. He says, what does it mean, Katsoin Odom? Katsoin Odom, he says, perhaps means people who act like sheep. Right? We know we say in the davening on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we say in the davening that Onu Tzoynecha Ve'ato Royeinu. We are your sheep, and you are our shepherd. What does that mean? It means the sheep are drawn after the shepherd. They follow it. They follow him, and they feel the most comfort, the most secure when they're in the presence of their shepherd. When the shepherd's there, then the sheep, they feel confident, they feel secure that they're taken care of. They have no worries. If a sheep strays away, and it finds itself lost in the forest, with wild animals around, the animal is scared, it's not comfortable, who knows what kind of animal will come and devour it. But when the shepherd comes to find it, and the shepherd's there, the shepherd with his stick taps the animal on the back, then the sheep feels secure and confident once again that it's taken care of, that there's nothing to worry about. It says, the desire of the Jewish people that Hashem will fulfill at the time of the Geula, at the time of the redemption, in times of Mashiach, is the Jewish people have a desire to be katzoin adam, people who are like sheep. People who follow Hashem like sheep, that they know that whatever we do, it's Hashem, Hashem's taking care of us. We can feel secure and comfortable in the presence of Hashem. Katzoin Odom, people who are like sheep to Hashem. Like David HaMelech says, Hashem ro'i lo yechzor. Hashem is my shepherd, I'm not lacking anything. David had complete confidence and Hashem complete security, knowing that Hashem is taking care of him. And that's the desire of the Jewish people, Katzoin Odom, to be like people who are like sheep, people who are like sheep, who Hashem is their shepherd, to constantly have the realization, the awareness, that Hashem is taking care of us, that they have nothing to worry about, but constantly in the presence of Hashem. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi samid, Hashem is constantly opposite me, I'm aware that I'm in the presence of Hashem, and by me being in the presence of Hashem, Hashem is taking care of me, Hashem is protecting me, Hashem is doing for me what I need, I have nothing to worry about, I don't need anything else, whatever I do, Hashem is helping me along, Hashem is taking care of me. And he says that on some level is the message of Parshas Parah as well. Chazal tell us that the Parah, the Parah Aduma, is specifically has to be a female cow. Normally, the carbon is an animal that's bought as a carbon is normally a male cow, an ox. But here, it has to be specifically a female cow. And then the Medrash says that why? It says, Mashal leben shifcha shetineh paltan shal melech. You have a shifcha, you have a maidservant in the palace of the king. She takes care of the palace of the king, and she has a son. And that son, in some way, makes the palace of the king dirty, makes a mess. So Omer HaMelech, the king says, Tovo imo yutkaneach esatzoyo. The king says, let the mother of this child come and clean up his mess. Kach Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so says Hashem, Tovoi paro utechaper al masi ha'egel. Let the paro aduma, let this female cow come and atone for the sin of the egel. Sin for the sin of the egel. The egel was a calf, the child of a cow. So let the mother, let the cow come and atone for the sin of the child of the calf, the golden calf. What brought about the sin of the golden calf? The sin of the golden calf, I believe we mentioned this in the name of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, but Rabbi Isaac Sher says this, a similar idea, that the sin of the golden calf was that the people did not have a complete reliance on Hashem. When they saw that Moshe was gone, Moshe had been leading them the whole time, they saw Moshe as their leader, as their caretaker, and when they thought Moshe was gone, they went into a panic. Who's going to take care of us? Who's going to lead us? They needed to immediately find a new leader. They needed to find someone to take care of them. If they had full reliance on Hashem, if they really felt that, if they really felt in the presence of Hashem, of Anu Tzaynecha, of Ato Rayenu, to wear your sheep and wear your sheep, and you are our shepherd, that all their needs are taken care of by Hashem, that there's nothing else necessary, Hashem takes care of them in all situations, whether there is an intermediary, there's no intermediary, wherever they are, whatever situation they might find themselves in, Hashem's always taking care of them, then there never would have been an egel. The egel came because there wasn't this complete confidence, complete reliance upon Hashem. They felt they needed something else also, which is why they created this egel azov, the golden calf. When Moshe was gone, they went into a panic. Moshe, they saw Moshe as their protector. They didn't see Hashem directly as their protector and their caretaker, and that's what led to the egel azov. And the remedy for that is to realize, to reach this level of katzoin odom. The solution, the remedy for that is to come to the realization that we're completely in the care of Hashem. That Hashem takes care of us, He takes care of all our needs, He protects us, He keeps us secure. Not to think that we need any sort of intermediaries, not to think that we need anyone else here on earth to protect us, and certainly not to fool ourselves into thinking that we have to appease our enemies and they'll protect us. To have complete reliance on Hashem, that Hashem is the one who takes care of us. We don't need anything else. Nothing else is necessary. Whatever we do, ultimately, Hashem is the one who will always take care of us. And Hashem's the one who leads our lives for us. And that, he says, perhaps is the message of these psukim in at the end of the Haftarah here, which ties together with the message of Parshas Parah, the message that we should have to constantly believe and realize that everything is in the hands of Hashem, that Hashem is the one who takes care of us, no matter who the president is, no matter who the world leaders are, no matter what else is happening in the world. Anu Tzaynecha, we are Yeshiv V'ato Rayenu, you're our shepherd, we have confidence that you're taking care of us, we feel secure in your presence, we don't need anything else, and we hope for the day very soon when Hashem will inspire us to bring us up to that level of Katzoyin Adam, to we could reach that level to the fullest, where we feel like we are Hashem's sheep and He is leading us. Thank you. Do we